I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Breaking news this morning. President Trump posted on Truth Social that the U.S. and Iran had a series of productive conversations over the past 2 days. And based on that, the president says he has directed the Department of War to postpone any and all military strikes against Iranian power plants and energy infrastructure for a 5-day period as these talks continue. Iran State TV is reporting. I don't know if we can believe Iran State TV, but Iran State TV says that Trump capitulated. There are no direct or indirect talks taking place with the Trump regime. This is from a spokesperson for the IRGC, and it is being run on Iran State TV, with the foreign ministry of Iran claiming that President Trump's remarks on day five, a halt to strike on Iranian energy infrastructure, is a ploy to buy time.
A ploy to buy time for the U.S. or for Iran to get more weapons ready? That's Maria Bartiromo of Fox News talking about how Trump did announce the other day, at the beginning of the weekend, giving basically Iran 48 hours to stand down and put an end to this fighting. And then late yesterday, the word came out that Trump was going to give an extension to that because they have now talks going on with Iran. I cannot tell you which side is accurate or maybe more accurate and which side is lying. If I were to put my money on it, I would say the Iranians are lying. They typically do this. You look at everything they've said that they would do, even with the UN, Energy Atomic Commission, and that they would cease working on a nuclear weapon and invite the inspectors to come visit anytime you want, unannounced, go everywhere you want. And they reneged on that. So I don't trust them, nor the Iran State TV. And the other thing is, we still don't know if the supposed leader of Iran is even still alive at this point. He was apparently severely injured in one of the explosions that killed his father and the supreme leader. So who's running the country? I know, I hear Democrats saying, who's running our country? We got a lot to break down for you. Glad to have you on board with us. Here we are, March 23rd, 2026. March 23rd. Wow. And with Larry Connors USA, we're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. And let me remind you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. How do you do that? You go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. And you can go to Larry Connors USA, Facebook. Excuse me. This shift in temperatures is really messing up my throat and my ability for health, and I pray you're doing well, but it's just this swing over the weekend going from 94, setting a record high yesterday compared to 1907, to suddenly 36 overnight. There's going to be a lot of us coming down with something, but I'm going to continue to fight it off if you'll just bear with me. We'll get through this. And reminding you, with Larry Connors USA, we're going to deliver you news, analysis, opinion, and education. You're going to leave each hour with more knowledge than you have right this moment. In our next hour, you're going to hear from a passenger on board that Air Canada jet that collided the Newark airport with a fire truck, LaGuardia, I should say. And she tells a very frightening story of what was going on, but also how the passengers responded, not in panic. That's coming up in our next hour. And later this hour, John Birch Society member, telling us the John Birch Society view of what we're doing in Iran and suggesting perhaps we shouldn't be there. And in fact, to find the exact quote from him, they're questioning if there's anything for us to do in Iran. And they're looking at it on the basis of we have difficulties all around the world. In Sudan, one of the world's largest Muslim nations, thousands of civilians have been massacred, obvious genocide. And we're not doing anything in Sudan to stop that. We did not go into Iran just to free the people from oppression. May I repeat that? We did not go into Iran, and I say into, start fighting Iran just to free the people from oppression. We cannot be the policemen of the world again. What we're trying to do is keep them from developing a nuclear weapon. And you've seen the thousands of missiles they have fired at neighboring states, not just Israel, United Arab Emirates and others. And we know they've been working again on trying to build a nuclear weapon. That's the threat. But I'll be interested in the view of the John Birch Society. That's coming up later in this hour. And before we wrap up the hour, the story behind the story today. Walter Cronkite, born in Missouri. Of course, the head anchor of CBS News for decades. And a little bit more of the backstory on Walter and some of the most major events he had a chance to cover as a news anchor. Now, back to the issue of are we or are we not going to have some kind of deal with Iran? Trump told reporters, my envoys have been negotiating with a senior Iranian official, and they're finding agreement on many points. Yet at the same time, Iran denies any talks are taking place, claiming that Trump is just trying to calm the energy markets. Trump did not name the Iranian contact, said, I didn't want to get him killed. But we're dealing with a man, according to Trump, I believe is the most respected, not the supreme leader, whom we still haven't heard from. James Comer was asked, where do you stand on what you're hearing with Iran and talks?
I don't know how trustworthy Iranian state TV is. It's probably like a couple of liberal networks that come to my mind. But at the end of the day, I think that the president's being cautious. I don't think anyone wants to see much more damage to Iran unless they refuse to make peace here and put a halt to their quest to have a nuclear weapon. That's not acceptable. I don't think anyone in the world would agree that that's acceptable. That's a country that does not need nuclear capabilities. And again, this all started when Barack Obama made that sweetheart deal with Iran that gave them duffel bags full of cash and turned a blind eye to their nuclear bomb-making capabilities.
And you cannot ignore that. I don't care where you stand on where we are right now. You cannot ignore how Obama basically aided them, releasing $4.8 million in one overnight shipment, and before his oversent them more, closer to $1 billion+, which then got dispersed to their terrorist regimes around the world. And what we saw from Iran over the weekend, trying to hit a U.S. airbase in the Indian Ocean, Diego Garcia, and that proves that they now have the range capability that puts every NATO capital in Europe as a target. Brian Kilmeade.
Moments ago, President Trump confirming progress in talks with Iran, adding, quote, I've instructed the Department of War to postpone any and all military strikes against Iranian power plants and energy infrastructure for a five-day period. Meanwhile, growing concerns over Iran's missiles over the weekend, how far they can actually go after Iran launched ballistic missiles towards Diego Garcia, a U.S.-UK base in the Indian Ocean, 2,500 miles away. So now we know that we've been accusing them of this, They've denied it, and now we know their space program has produced a missile that can go 2,500 miles. So what does that mean? The capitals of Rome, Munich, Paris, of Italy, Germany, and France, suddenly they are paying attention, I imagine. Maybe it is their fight. And, of course, in London, where they've decided to just let their military wither. And then we have Oslo and Berlin. Besides that, I think every NATO capital is now under watch.
And they should be. They should be. They recognize now that, look, you better hope the USA continues to keep Iran in the cage and controlled. Because with the missiles they've got, they now are showing they have the ability to reach up to 2,500 miles. You heard him say Rome, Berlin, and more. Maybe the European nations will realize, while they were balking in the beginning of helping Trump open up the Strait of Hormuz, they, of course, have since decided, oh, we'll do something to help. Not sure what, but we'll do something. They're probably going to have to realize we're going to need to do a lot more. Interesting little meme was going around over the weekend. You might have seen it. That Japan says it's sending help to open the Strait of Hormuz. And there was that giant dragon the Japanese have in some of their movies wading through the water to hit ships and get them through. Funny, and yet at the same time making it clear that's a critical choke point for the nation and the world. In the meantime, we have choke points still at the airports. ICE agents have been ordered into the airports to assist TSA with security. This as wait times have passengers missing more flights.
Hours-long wait times at airports across the country tonight.
It was 4 hours to get to the plane.
You cannot be serious.
Line stretching all the way to the parking garage in New Orleans. A similar scene in New York City and Philadelphia. It's why President Trump says that on Monday, ICE agents will be going to airports to help TSA workers who've gone without full paychecks since February. White House Border Czar Tom Homan today admitting they don't have a plan yet.
I'm currently working on the plan now of execution. We'll execute it tomorrow.
NBC News has learned more than 400 TSA officers have quit since the shutdown began. Thousands more are calling out, many falling behind on their bills. For 37 days, Democrats have blocked funding to the Department of Homeland Security because of the administration's immigration crackdown. It isn't yet clear what travelers will see tomorrow. According to Homan, who is deploying ICE to the busiest airports, agents would take on TSA responsibilities that don't require specialized training. So you may not see them in the screening lines.
I think it's going to make it even more nerve-wracking for people.
You think they'll be afraid to fly?
I will be.
Why are you going to be afraid to fly if they're going to get you on the plane sooner? You were going to fly anyway. And now because ICE agents might be in the airport, you're going to be afraid to fly? The wait time should keep you afraid, that's for sure. Baltimore airport travelers showing frustration, longer wait times. Same thing as you heard at Atlanta, hitting 3 to 4 hours. Palm Beach reporting travelers are in a long wait line again. Flying out of Houston, long lines. This is going to be true at many of the major airports. And then if you can get to one of the regional airports, if you can get there, then you'll be able to move a little quicker. Once you go through the initial security line to get on board a flight, even if you go into another airport and had to change flights, you're already in the secure area. You've been checked, so there shouldn't be difficulty for you to get on the next flight. But that's assuming that flight is at the gate and arrived in time, and assuming that your flight delivered you to the airport in time to make the connection. It's going to frustrate people over and over, and I remind you, it's all in the hands of the Democrats. They are not willing to pay TSA agents. basically they don't want to pay Homeland Security, which comes under TSA. The question remains as to who is actually going to be doing what. And as you heard Tom Holman say, we're still working that out. They're looking at possibly the core activities of ICE, non-technical roles like simply moving security lines, monitoring them, and checking IDs before passengers enter security screening areas. It's not clear that they're going to be looking and checking at luggage at this point, but they need more help to expedite the lines. If you're flying somewhere, you want that. You want to get through the line quicker. I don't know of anyone who wants to go to the airport and stand for 6 hours or even 2 hours in a line to get on your plane. And in the midst of all of this, Tom Holman has made it clear that we're going to do what the president wants. I'm working with the director of ICE and the director of TSA. We're going to put together a plan. And of course, one of the negative leftist legacy reporters asked, so are ICE agents even remotely trained to handle security at airports? Holman said, ICE agents receive a high level of training. They do a lot of investigation, smuggling at airports. And he could go on and on, but again, it's just the leftist view making it clear that this isn't going to do anything. I disagree. And it might force the Democrats to say, let's put an end to that. Senator Ted Cruz has already suggested, why don't you break the funding, as I pointed out the other day, break the funding for U.S. Immigration and ICE and Customs Border, split it from the funding for Department of Homeland Security for right now. So we have the money to pay the TSA agents. And then you can deal with ICE and Border Patrol separately. They may or may not do that. Coming up, a view of the Iran war as seen by the John Birch Society. You might be surprised with their take. That's still to come. And our story behind the story today, Walter Cronkite, born in Missouri, international fame. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold remediation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Finally, March, the season of fresh starts, more daylight, more energy. A perfect time to take a fresh look at your home. Your windows or doors are outdated and efficient? Check with Renewal by Anderson. From your first design consultation through final installation, every detail is handled by one experienced, dedicated team. Clear communication, precise craftsmanship. Renewal by Anderson windows built with our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl. And right now, during our March savings event, take $400 off every window, $800 off every door, and get a free upgrade to Smart Sun Glass. No money down, no payments, no interest for 12 months. But this ends March 31st. Call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS, or visit rbastl.com. rbastl.com. Superior products, exceptional service. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Got a black magic woman. Got a black magic woman.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. My guest we've had on before, Gary Benoit, editor-in-chief of The New American. That's a publication affiliated with the John Birch Society. Author of the book, Vanguard of the Americanist Cause, a close look at the John Birch Society. Gary, welcome aboard again.
Thank you very much.
Well, I'm looking at a piece that you're putting out that you're talking about how we are ignoring the genocide that's taking place in Sudan and focusing on Iran, and you're trying to draw a parallel that we're picking and choosing which case we want to deal with. Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, that's part of it. And I think part of it, too, is suggest that the world is very imperfect. There's a lot of problems in the world. And, of course, the founding fathers, recognizing this, they caution against going abroad for monsters to destroy. They saw the purpose of the U.S. military is being to protect the United States, not to try to change the rest of the world.
Well, of course, we're well past that from the founding fathers. We have been involved in nation building. Do you see that what we're doing in Iran at this point is another nation building effort?
It certainly looks that way, but regardless if it is or is not, the most critical concern, I believe, is that no single person should make a decision as to whether or not the United States go to war. The founding fathers did not look at the president as a king. They did look at the president as being the commander-in-chief who would conduct the military affairs of the country when we do go to war. But it was up to Congress to decide whether or not to do that, whether or not to go to war.
That is it. That is if you're looking for a declaration of war. But under the War Powers Act, the president, and Obama did the same, does have some latitude.
Well, of course, the War Powers Act is not the Constitution itself. And so what we'd like to look at the John Birch Society is the Constitution itself. And that explicitly says, as you pointed out, Larry, declare war. But the reason the founding fathers picked the word declare instead of the word make was because they did recognize, as people recognize today, that sometimes you could deal with a situation of sudden attack. And they did not want a situation where the president would have to go to war contrary to the Constitution because he didn't have time to wait for a declaration. That's why they went with the word declaration. So the real question is, were we subjected to imminent attack? And when you look at the intelligence information, the answer is no. And also based upon what Trump said before he said otherwise, because if you go back to June of 2025, Trump did launch an attack against Iran at that time. And at that time, he said that the nuclear capabilities of Iran were completely destroyed. And that itself was kind of
odd. He used the term obliterated, but I can define that deeper, but go ahead.
Right, that's exactly the word that he used. But if you go back 3 months earlier, 3 months before that attack in March of 2025, there was an annual threat assessment of the U.S. intelligence community that was released, in March. And that said, quote, "We continue to assess Iran is not building a nuclear weapon, and that Khamenei, that he has not authorized the nuclear weapons program he suspended in 2003. So that was the assessment 3 months before that attack.
All right, let
but
me.
Even if we assume that, yes.
I'm sorry, I'll let you complete your thought. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, but even if we assume that that attack was needed at that time, it does raise the question, how on earth could they have gotten that weapons program back on track where Trump needed to act immediately in June of this year, February 28 of this year, without going to Congress. So there should have been, Congress should have been involved because, again, you don't want one man to make that decision to plunge the nation into war.
And, of course, you'd say the same thing about Obama when he was carrying out such acts.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, all right.
Absolutely.
I want to be clear.
And I think it's really ironic, Larry, that when you look at the Democrats and the position they're taking today about having no king and that the president should not have done this without going to Congress, it is so clear to me that if the president were a Democrat today, whether than a Republican, and if the Democrat president did exactly the same thing that Trump did, the Democrats today would be saying exactly the opposite.
I think it would be true if it were anyone but Trump. That's really the breaking point. now on this point, obviously Trump is known to embellish things and overstate them. But I can tell you this. I could obliterate your house. I could destroy your house. Mm-hmm. But you could go back to start rebuilding it. And how do you want to trust intel when we don't really have any reports from the United Commission? The Atomic Energy Commission was supposed to be able to go in and look at these sites, see where they were, come in unannounced, check and see what was going on, and they were never allowed to do that. Do you want to trust Iran and their word that they're not working on a nuclear weapon?
Well, of course, we don't want to trust Iran, but you still have to have evidence to justify an attack.
There's evidence. There's evidence of the uranium. It's a matter of how far they're enriching it.
Yeah, but again, if you look at the assessment in March of 2025 that I quoted, how could they have gone from that to being an imminent threat three months later?
Well, let's talk about that phrase. Let's talk about that phrase. What is an imminent threat to you?
Well, an imminent threat is not a threat that goes back to 1979 and extends up to the present day, because we've been hearing since 1979 when the Ayatollah regime came into power that it's been an imminent threat. So an imminent threat, I would interpret, is a threat that is so great that the president must act immediately before he can go to Congress for the declaration of war.
All right. But with that in mind, and where we are since 79, if we have some believing we are facing an imminent threat, others saying we're not, do you really want to give the allowance for Iran to continue to build whatever they want until it's no longer an imminent threat? It's in your backyard.
Well, we don't even know that that Iran was continuing to enrich those, the uranium.
All right.
Don't know that.
All right,
let me
take you
another. The intelligence that we do know that was made public said exactly the opposite.
Let me take you another direction. Over the weekend, we saw them fire at Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean trying to reach a U.S. airbase. They now have missiles that can reach all of the NATO capitals. Is that not an imminent threat?
Well, how about Putin? Would you say Putin is an imminent threat as well?
Sure.
How about China? Because they certainly had those missiles.
Sure.
But would you today decide to let the president go to war against Russia or go to war against China? I mean, there's a lot of bad people in the world.
So one of the things you point out that in Sudan, one of the world's largest Muslim nations, thousands have been massacred in genocide, raising, I guess, the moral issue that if we're trying to bring a moral cause to Iran, that's why we're there. Is that part of the argument or not?
Well, part of the argument is, again, there's a lot of despotic regimes in the world, and we can't go everywhere. And if we were, how about starting with Cuba, Larry? Would you want to go into Cuba?
No, I agree. I don't want boots on the ground anywhere other than the U.S.
Right.
But at the same time, if we can do standoff attacks, and we've lost some troops already in that process, but I will agree with you that we're seeing a breakdown possibly inside some Republican and certainly independent lines. How do you see this playing out moving forward?
Well, the way I see it playing out moving forward is that we got to get back to the Constitution, pure and simple. And Larry, obviously we don't agree on everything, but would you agree with me that maybe Congress should make the decision rather than one man? And if one man is allowed to make the decision, what if the next president is a Kamala Harris or somebody like that?
No,
to entrust that person with making the decision?
No, I agree with you. If it's going to be a war, and a war means troops on ground and in country, and no, I don't want that to happen again.
Well, we may have to agree to disagree then as to whether or not what's happening in Iran is a war.
Well, if you're on the receiving end, it's a war. That I do know.
Yes.
I want to very quickly, your book, Vanguard of the Americanist Cause, what are you trying to highlight in that issue, that book?
Okay. Well, the importance of the John Birch Society and the approach that we take for saving the country. The whole thesis is that regardless of what happens in the voting booths, I should say that what does happen in the voting booths ultimately will be determined by how informed the American people are. Look what happened in New York City, for instance, where they elected an acknowledged Democratic socialist.
Yeah.
Or in Vermont, where they elected a socialist. And so in order to save our freedoms, we can't just do it politically. I mean, obviously, we need to vote. But ultimately, we should recognize that we have to inform the people. And so the whole purpose of the John Birch Society is to wake the town, tell the people, and get them involved. And we believe that by the people being more informed, and that can come about, for example, by listening to programs such as yours, Larry, but that is the ultimate solution. Otherwise, people will be beguiled into voting themselves into slavery.
Well, to that extent, we also would like to know if they're really American citizens voting, wouldn't we?
Yes, that is absolutely true.
Okay.
And that is a huge problem because I do believe that elections have been stolen through vote fraud. There's no question about that. But even if we got rid of all the vote fraud, I think we'd still have a problem because so many young people, for instance, are socialistic. So many believe in communism.
Gary,
today.
I'm sorry. We're going to cut it off. We'll book it again in the future, sir.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. Finally, March, the season of fresh starts, more daylight, more energy. A perfect time to take a fresh look at your home. Your windows or doors are outdated and efficient? Check with Renewal by Anderson. From your first design consultation through final installation, every detail is handled by one experienced, dedicated team. Clear communication, precise craftsmanship. Renewal by Anderson windows built with our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl. And right now, during our March savings event, take $400 off every window, $800 off every door, and get a free upgrade to Smart Sun Glass. No money down, no payments, no interest for 12 months. But this ends March 31st. Call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS, or visit rbastl.com. rbastl.com. Superior products, exceptional service. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find. I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
Direct from our newsroom in New York, this is the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite.
Good evening. As president of the huge Teamsters Union, James Riddle Hoffa was considered one of the most powerful labor leaders in the Western world. He retained his post and much of his power. It didn't seem to diminish much behind bars as he served a 13-year sentence for jury tampering and mail fraud. But apparently, Hoffa came to feel that his retention of leadership was interfering with his chances for parole. And thus, Hoffa is giving his office up to Vice President Frank Fitzsimmons. The announcement was made in Washington today after a lengthy meeting of the Teamster Executive Board.
That was Walter Cronkite, 1971. Just one of the many stories, as he said at the anchor desk for CBS News. Walter Cronkite, born 1916, and many do know that he was born in Missouri. Do you know exactly where? St. Joseph, Missouri. And in fact, later his family did move to Kansas City, Missouri, then on to Houston. And he attended college at the University of Texas at Houston. I'm sorry, in Austin. But there is a recognition for him being born in Missouri at the Western State University. If you've never been there, you would find this interesting. They have a Walter Cronkite Memorial, 6,000-square-foot memorial, images, videos, numerous pieces of memorabilia from his life and the many events he covered as a journalist. It even has a replica of the newsroom from which Cronkite broadcast during the 1960s and 70s. Walter Cronkite did not start off wanting to be a news anchor. He was not sure what he wanted to do other than maybe do something in news. So when he got out of university, leaving college actually in his junior year, he started a series of newspaper reporting jobs, covering news and sports. He entered broadcasting for the first time in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, WKY. And in fact, that's where he met his future wife, while working as a sports announcer later at KCMO in Kansas City. His broadcast name was Walter Wilcox. At that time, he had explained that many radio stations didn't advise you to use your real names because you might take listeners with you if you left. Well, of course you would. And then in 1937, he joined the UPI, United Press International. He later got a job offer from Edward R. Murrow at CBS News to join the correspondents to cover various things around the world, which would soon be World War II. CBS offered Cronkite $125. That'd be equivalent to $2,900 about now, maybe a little more than that, maybe $3,000. And he got commercial fees amounting to $25 for each commercial. He read a commercial on the air. Well, it was a big boost because he had only been making less than $60 at UPI. He did have reservations about broadcasting, but he did accept the offer. In fact, at that time, UPI came back and said, we'll raise you to $17.50 an hour. No, per week. It still was a long haul. And then Cronkite became one of the top American reporters in World War II. And he's known for so many major moments in history, this one in particular.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago. Vice President Lyndon Johnson has left the hospital in Dallas, but we do not know to where he has proceeded. Presumably, he will be taking the oath of office shortly and become the 36th President of the United States.
And that clip of Walter Cronkite shows that he was obviously, as the nation, emotionally distressed with the assassination of JFK. He had to take his glasses off for a moment, kind of dab at his eye, but continue on a professional level. The term anchor was actually coined to describe Cronkite's role at both the Democrat and Republican national conventions. Up to that time, very few had used the title anchor. And in 64, he was temporarily replaced by the team of Robert Trout and Roger Mudd. That turned out not to work so well for CBS, the backlash from the audience. So they put Cronkite back on. So again, he was in the chair for another major event.
Good evening. Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee. Police have issued an all-points bulletin for a well-dressed young white man seen running from the scene. Officers also reportedly chased and fired on a radio-equipped car containing two white men. Dr. King was standing on the balcony of a second-floor hotel room tonight when, according to a companion, a shot was fired from across the street. In the friend's words, the bullet exploded in his face.
One thing that Walter Cronkite did, he went back to his reporting days during the Vietnam War, near the, not the end of it necessarily, but to go see for himself what he was reporting on a nightly basis. He'd already had war experience during World War II. In fact, he's one of the top American reporters in World War II, covering battles in North Africa and Europe. He was aboard the USS Texas in Virginia as she was off the coast of North Africa, then back to the U.S. And in fact, Cronkite was flown off Texas, the ship Texas, by an aircraft, so when they got within flying distance, he could get the rest of the distance to Norfolk and beat a rival correspondent on the U.S. Massachusetts. That launched his career as a war correspondent. And later he's one of eight selected by the U.S. Army Air Forces to fly in bombing raids over Germany and a Boeing 17 Flying Fortress. As I told you the other day on the Edward R. Murrow history, he had done the same. But when Walter Cronkite came back from viewing Vietnam War directly, he came back and declared it as a stalemate and basically unwinnable. The report from Vietnam, the impact significantly influenced public opinion. And even President LBJ said, if I've lost Cronkite, I've lost Middle America. And then there was another event that Cronkite covered that he admit left him speechless.
Griffin, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
Oh, boy.
Thank you.
You're looking good here.
What?
Okay, we're going to be busy for a minute. After I'm on, take care of the people.
Wally, say something. I'm speechless.
Asking fellow astronaut Wally step in and say something because I'm speechless. One of the few times Cronkite was speechless. There's a lot more to the story when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them, and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
For it seems now more certain than ever that the bloody experience of Vietnam is to end in a stalemate. But it is increasingly clear to this reporter that the only rational way out then will be to negotiate, not as victors, but as an honorable people who lived up to their pledge to defend democracy and did the best they could.
And again, those were the words of Cronkite after he had made his trip to Vietnam. That statement, Feb 27, 1968. CBS had a mandatory retirement policy. And that caught up to Cronkite because of his age, obviously. And then he had to step forward and concede he was leaving.
This is my last broadcast as the anchorman of the CBS Evening News. For me, it's a moment for which I long have planned, but which nevertheless comes with some sadness. For almost two decades, after all, we've been meeting like this in the evenings, and I'll miss that. But those who have made anything of this departure, I'm afraid, have made too much. This is but a transition, a passing of the baton. A great broadcaster and gentleman, Doug Edwards, preceded me in this job, and another, Dan Rather, will follow. And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not even going away. I'll be back from time to time with special news reports and documentaries, and beginning in June, every week with our science program, Universe. Old anchormen, you see, don't fade away. They just keep coming back for more. And that's the way it is. Friday, March 6th, 1981. I'll be away on assignment, and Dan Rather will be sitting in here for the next few years. Good night.
And I would tell you, when he made that announcement, he later acknowledged that he probably should have stayed on a little longer. His last broadcast was March 6, 1981. That following Monday, Dan Rather was in the chair. And a lot of the audience felt that they had lost the most trusted man of in America, as many had called him, and a father figure or an uncle figure. And at one point in his retirement, Cronkite described himself as being more like a comfortable old shoe for his audience. But they relied on him all those decades. Dan Rather was a little brash in their view. They didn't like him. Trying to fill the shoes of Walter Cronkite was not going to be easy for anyone. And it wasn't for Rather. But as you heard him say, old anchormen don't fade away, they keep coming back. But then there came a time when it was over.
This is a CBS News special report. I'm Katie Couric. Good evening. It is my sad duty to tell you that our friend and colleague, Walter Cronkite, has died. He was 92 and passed away peacefully tonight here in New York. Walter became anchor here at CBS when television news was in its infancy and brought generations of Americans the most momentous events of the second half of the 20th century, from the assassination of a president to a man's landing on the moon.
And that's the way it is.
And that's the way it is.
And that's the way it is.
That's the way it is.
For half a century, Walter Cronkite told it the way it was, delivering the news straight and unvarnished.
Evening, everyone. Here is the news.
Among the pioneers who built television news from the ground up, he forged a special bond with audiences. Trustworthy, plain-spoken, unflappable.
And you were there.
You were there. That was another program that after he stepped away as anchor, he took on more responsibility with that, basically going back in some events, reliving them for the audience, recounting details that maybe they didn't know. Again, I want to remind you that in St. Joseph, Missouri, at the Missouri Western State University, there is a Walter Cronkite Memorial. If you're ever in that area, you might well want to take a look at it. Cronkite did set a standard, and he was considered unbiased. It later proved that he had more liberal thread in him than many believed he did. But he didn't flaunt it. And there were those who told stories about he sure liked to get drunk. Well, he didn't like to get drunk, but he admitted he liked his wine and he liked his whiskey. Do you see any harm in that? Is that a reason for an anchorman to be put out to pasture? He was still good at 65, but that was CBS mandatory policy put in place by someone who was under 65. Another story behind the story tomorrow night, and our second hour is coming up. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge. A wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Finally, March, the season of fresh starts, more daylight, more energy. A perfect time to take a fresh look at your home. Your windows or doors are outdated and inefficient? Check with Renewal by Anderson. From your first design consultation through final installation, every detail is handled by one experienced, dedicated team. Clear communication, precise craftsmanship. Renewal by Anderson windows built with our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl. And right now, during our March savings event, take $400 off every window, $800 off every door, and get a free upgrade to Smart Sun Glass. No money down, no payments, no interest for 12 months. But this ends March 31st. Call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS, or visit rbastl.com. rbastl.com. Superior products, exceptional service. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Underlaw.com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.